The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you back. It is great to have all of you here for the second half of the show. Been a busy day already. Mel Kiper Jr. in the last half hour talking a lot about one of our next two guests. So we welcome Landon Dickerson, of course, the great All-American center for Alabama, and Mac Jones, the Heisman finalist. And guys, man, you look good. So great to have both of you here. Landon, first of all, how are you feeling? And I've watched video of you doing all kinds of bizarre things. So it looks like you're ready for the draft. How are you?
I'm doing extremely well. I can't complain. You know, I'm kind of back to almost being, you know, 100% getting ready for this upcoming season.
Well, I have to ask you, Landon, before we get to Mac. I mean, you put on ESPN at any hour of the night, other than maybe in the middle of a LeBron game, and you hear people talk about Mac Jones going as high as he is projected. What has it been like for you as not only his teammate, but his friend?
I'm extremely excited for him. You know, I think Mac's done a great job of handling this process well, and you know, I'm really excited to see where he ends up and, you know, his career. I know he's going to have a long career. He's going to be a phenomenal player.
Mac, I know for somebody like you, I mean, you want to embrace the moment, but I'm sure you're focused on just moving forward. What has it been like having so many people debate, argue, scream, and holler about your worth as a pro prospect?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just focusing on what I can control, and that's doing really well in my Zoom meetings and working out hard and throwing and stuff. So, honestly, that sounds like an Alabama answer, but it is what it is, and they're going to say what they're going to say. But if you watch the tape, it's good tape. So,
what are those? Not that we're trying to get state secrets here, but when you have these Zooms with the teams, I know you've been, you know, everybody's Zoomed out, but how intense are those conversations?
Yeah, usually they just ask about, you know, our personal background and then kind of get into football. So it's nothing that we haven't done. You know, you go through the good, bad, and ugly plays and kind of like what we do at Alabama, and then you just talk through it and have a good conversation.
Let me put the onus on both of you because, you know, we just talked to Kiper and, you know, he was very, very high on both of you guys, to say the least. Mac, let me ask you to do an analysis of Landon because I know you guys are friends, but how would, if you're trying to make an argument to an NFL team about him, I know how highly you think of him. What would you tell them?
Yeah, I think Landon's, you know, one of the greatest teammates I've ever had. He's one of my best friends, so I'd tell him that. But he also plays really well and prepares really hard and works hard. And, you know, every time he's on the line, whatever position he's playing, everybody knows what to do because Landon knows what to do. So he's going to tell him. Sometimes he's telling me what to do. So Landon knows everybody's jobs, and he's going to do it to the best of his ability, and he'll put his body on the line. And, you know, if anybody has questions about injuries or anything like that, Landon's, you know, fine. He's working out hard. I know he had the injury at the end of the year, but right now he's doing cartwheels on interviews and stuff, and I know y'all have seen him, so he looks pretty good to me.
Landon, please don't be as kind to him as he was to you. I mean, I'm counting on you here.
I mean, honestly, I'm trying not to tear up. That was beautiful, Mac. But, I mean, Mac's a phenomenal guy. I mean, I couldn't ask for anybody. Couldn't ask for a better friend or a better teammate. He's he handles himself the right way on and off the field. And when it comes to football, I mean, he's athletically gifted anyway. But, you know, as much as he's gifted, you know, he doesn't rely on that. He goes out. He's a student of the game. He loves every aspect of it. And he's just such a hard worker. So, I mean, the only thing that, you know, he's going to have to work on is, you know, maybe telling people what to do because I won't be there anymore.
I just might just just go get a cup of coffee while you guys banter back and forth. Let's get into the relationship because you know, most of the time centers and quarterbacks are friends. I would think it behooves the quarterback to be close friends with the center, but what are you guys like when nobody's watching?
Landon, go ahead.
Honestly, we're just like two very large, old-looking kids. That's the best way I can describe it. I mean, we're big kids. That's really, our interactions, you know, locker room, going out to eat at my house, his apartment, whatever it is. I mean, we're just like two little kids.
Mac, are you going to respond to that?
I mean, that's pretty accurate. I think we like to have fun, and whether we're playing football or not, we just have a good time together, make everything enjoyable because there's a lot of long days, but we try to just make them fun, and that's what makes us, you know, good leaders, but also good teammates, good players, all that stuff.
Let me ask both of you, because you know the audience here is interested in what's going to happen to both of you in 2 weeks, but they're also very interested, Landon Dickerson and Mac Jones, to find out what's next. We're 2 days away from the A-Day game. I understand both of you are going to play some role. What exactly, Landon, will your roles be Saturday?
Really, it's going to be out there. I know me and Mac, we have to put our cleats in Denny Chimes and concrete. So, you know, it's going to be a fun experience. And seeing the 2019 captains, too, they'll be back to do that. But, you know, also just going out on the field and, you know, kind of getting a little different perspective. You know, usually we're suited up playing in that game. So, you know, I'm sure we'll be out there being able to, you know, talk to other guys, see how things are going, maybe coach them up a little bit, and really just kind of enjoy almost a spectator position for once.
Yeah, Mac, are you going to go along with them on that?
Yeah, it's going to be different. You know, we've played in a lot of games and stuff, and spring game's always fun, but, you know, being able to watch it, our team go against each other will be fun with a new group of guys, and, you know, everyone's going to say Alabama's done or whatever, but this is kind of the first step for them proving that they're a new team that is just as good as any other team we've had, so I'm looking forward to it.
Landon, in terms of what's coming after you, let's stick with the offense. I mean, people are worried, to say the least, as you see this crop of Alabama offensive players, the two of you, you know, being a big part of that list leave. I know the cupboard's not going to be bare. So tell fans as you begin your career as your post NFL career as a network analyst, what Alabama has coming back.
You know, Alabama is, you know, everybody says it every year, you know, they lost, you know, whoever it may be, they have to, you know, they're not going to be able to overcome this loss. You know, it's something you hear every year, but for me going out there, you know, I've been here in Tuscaloosa, I've been able to watch practices, watch these guys work out and see what they've done. And this new group of guys, I mean, we have a combination of some guys that have played a significant amount over the past couple of years, mixed with freshmen and guys that haven't played yet. I'm just really excited because these guys look athletic, they look like a great team, and they have the potential to be extremely good. So I'm excited to see how this team develops over, you know, just rest of the spring here, going into the summer and into fall camp, into the season. So, you know, it's a team filled with not only great athletes and great players, but also great people too.
Landon, I'm interested in your observation. Certainly, Coach Sark is gone, and Bill O'Brien. I'm not sure how much time you've had to spend with him, but what are you seeing from the new offensive coordinator dealing with some of the guys that you played with last year?
I'm seeing, you know, just kind of from observations, is a transition. You know, Sark brought in an NFL offense. We've always had, you know, NFL style schemes here, but, you know, Coach O'Brien and Coach Marone on the O-line have, you know, they've been able to implement even more and really start to develop these guys even further, not only helping them to be the best players they can, you know, this season and, you know, for the rest of their time in Alabama, but developing them. So, you know, when they make that transition to the NFL, they're that much more prepared.
Mac?
Yeah, I'd say, like Landon said, I mean, it's two NFL coaches who've been coordinators in the league. And obviously with O'Brien, him coming in, he's kind of the person that they need with a young team. He's been, you know, he's played every role from GM to head coach to offensive coordinator. So Coach O'Brien's going to do a great job, and he's done a great job in the spring. The offense, from what I've seen, has looked really good in the scrimmages and stuff like that. So I'm kind of just looking forward to seeing the offense evolve from, you know, one coordinator to another. But at the end of the day, it's Alabama, and our identity doesn't really change as much as people probably think when we change coordinators.
Landon, before you and Matt go, it's springtime in Tuscaloosa. I know that you're still working out. You're still dealing with a lot. But what is it like? I know the pressure is there of the unknown, but finally getting out from under. I'm not being critical here, but you're not looking over your shoulder at Nick Saban and all the coaching staff. Well, what is it? Is there a exhaling now that that you're all done with this and you're leaving Alabama's national champions? What's it like?
You know, not really an exhale. I'm gonna miss it, honestly. You know, as much as a negative view of some people may have of Alabama and how things are ran here, you know, I've had only a phenomenal experience here, from, you know, Coach Saban to any of the other coaches, support staff, players. You know, it's one of those things where, especially this year, we had a phenomenal group of guys that, you know, they just love to play football. And, you know, that's something that, you know, it only comes around once in a while. You don't see it terribly often on teams. So, you know, I'm going to miss being a part of it, but I'm really excited to take this next step and see where I end up.
Mac, what about you?
Yeah, it's definitely kind of weird just being around, but not on a team or anything like that. So Alabama's obviously prepared all the draft guys to go on and be great. So I'm honestly just looking forward to joining a new team. But at the same time, Alabama has a special place in my heart and obviously a lot of other guys' hearts as well, people that have played here in the past, coaches that have coached here in the past. So it's just great tradition. And like we said, we just reload Alabama, and I'm kind of looking forward to just seeing them reload.
Well, I think as much as special as it is for you guys, I can assure you it's quadruple that for the fans of the University of Alabama when it comes to Landon Dickerson and Mac Jones. Guys, thanks for making time. Enjoy the next 2 weeks. So 2 weeks from right now, we'll be getting ready for the draft, and we will hear both of your names very, very early. We'll take a short break. So cool to talk to both of them as we continue here on a Thursday afternoon. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And welcome back here on the program. Back to the calls we go. And Mitch is up next. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Uncle Paul. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I just wanted to call kind of sort of to, I guess, clear up my thought of what the caller earlier who said he was a coach
right.
from Florida. Does he really think that these people who put out mock drafts are putting pressure on coaches and general managers to draft certain players?
I guess so, Mitch. I can tell you, I've talked to various NFL people, they don't care what – I don't mean this disrespectfully because I think Mel Kiper is a national treasure, but they don't care what Mel Kiper says. They have their own evaluation, and they love nothing more than to make the pundits look stupid.
I mean, that's the reason why I'm calling. And he kept making it sound like that Urban Meyer is going to draft Trevor Lawrence because he's under so much pressure.
No, he's not.
Urban Meyer is going to do what Urban Meyer wants to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, it all depends on the football team, but Urban Meyer did not he didn't say yes to that job until they decided who the quarterback was going to be, and he wanted Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, supposedly he's a coach in high school, but
well, yeah, I understood. I mean, he's Mitch. You have to remember something. Everybody comes at it differently. And everyone looks at it through their own prism. His prism was very narrow. I got it. I didn't agree completely with it, but I understood it. Coaches, high school coaches look at things differently than you look at it or I would look at it.
Well, I understand that, but I just to make the statement that a GM or a coach would make a draft decision based on pressure.
Well, it doesn't happen that way. Now, there are times when you get down that, I mean, if you have somebody like Jerry Jones, you're going
to... Well, that's ownership pressure.
Yeah, but you know, ultimately, the owner makes the final call. I mean, what was the name of that movie a couple of years ago? It was a fantastic movie. I think it was with Kevin Costner. And where they did the...
Draft Day or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, it was not a fantastic movie as cinema goes, but it was a very Draft Day. It was a very realistic look into what happens on Draft Day.
Anyway.
I know I'm getting into your area talking about movies, but I hope it's okay.
No. I don't know. I just thought he didn't understand how the draft works, evidently. But anyway, if anybody was putting pressure, Stephen A. called for an investigation if Justin Fields isn't drafted in the top 10.
I don't want to say that people don't care what talking heads say because what somebody says on a platform that like that show or other shows, it can affect certain things. But ultimately, if you're successful, you can't let that affect you. You just can't. The Justin Fields story is a completely different issue. And we had a gentleman on earlier who is close to Justin Fields. I understand that. And, you know, there's some truth in what he said. But I think Justin Fields is still going to go in the top 10. And if he does, then so what? He was
more than you and I.
Okay, he probably already is. He was never going ahead of Trevor Lawrence. Never.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to talk to my uncle anyway. So.
Well, I felt better because I have so few family members now, Mitch. When one calls up on a lazy Thursday afternoon, it brings joy to me. So thank you, nephew Mitch, and I'll talk to you again soon.
You take well. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Welcome. Wow, that was interesting. How about, where am I here? Bert is calling next. Hello, Bert.
Yes. Wow. Thank you for taking my call. It's an honor to be on your show.
Thank you.
I had a thought on the transfer portal that people are talking about now, and I thought of this. Someone made a comment, well, why can't players leave whenever they want to? Coaches can leave whenever they want to, and technically coaches can't. They have a contract, and most of those contracts have a buyout. What if you put a buyout in a scholarship and said, all right, if you want to leave, you sign on the dotted line, you're done at your current school, and you pay them back what they've invested in you. 2 years, you know, there you pay them back 2 years of scholarship, and then you're free to leave. The school where you're going wants to pay that, you're free to go. If they can't, you pay it yourself, or you lose a year of eligibility. It would at least make the kids think before they sign on the dotted line. You know, if somebody's going Auburn to Nebraska, state school to state school, that's no big deal. They can pay that. But what if somebody's been at Notre Dame for 3 years? I don't know what Notre Dame tuition is, but I'm sure it's pretty hefty.
It's heavy.
And nobody wants them, but say a Troy, you know, Troy in South Alabama or a Louisiana Monroe, and that would blow their entire athletic budget to pay 3 years of Notre Dame school. So the kids would have to think before they jump ship. What am I missing here? Is there some loophole or red flag that I'm not thinking about?
No, no, you're looking at it really in a very interesting way. Now, it's interesting that you bring this up because Nicole Auerbach will join us in 30 minutes and talk about what is going on right now, you know, with this one-time waiver, that you can transfer. And,
right.
And remember, there's still, you know, the unknown story is there's a lot of players who have banked an additional year of eligibility because of COVID. And you don't have to use it. I mean, you know, there's some guy. I mean, let's say a guy went to Alabama or Georgia 2 years ago and redshirted his first year and may have played last year. He's still got 4 years of eligibility left. So these are to me some of the more interesting stories going. Thank you very much for the call. We must head to a break here. Appreciate everybody being here. Great conversation with Mac Jones and Landon Dickerson, Mel Kiper previously. We've had fun today, and we are not done yet. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back here, and let's continue taking your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And I-Man is up next. Go right ahead, I-Man.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great.
Good, good. You know, I've just been sitting back listening, and that's been an interesting week with conversations. I sure am glad that, is it Jordan? Is that his name? The young guy from North Carolina?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, I'm glad he's back on Facebook. You know that.
No. Logan, not Jordan.
Logan. Yeah, Logan. I don't know too many Logans. Actually, don't know too many Jordans. But I'm glad Logan's got back on Facebook. You know, social sit in the corner can be tough on a guy his age. And I'm proud that he got that worked out. I was listening to Jeff the Builder the other day, and his call was kind of all over the place, and I really thought that was a great question. Did you know the price of lumber? I mean, I guess which piece of lumber? There's lots of different lumbers. But I thought the gist of his call was pretty much, how come Jim ain't on? How come Jim ain't on? And you've explained that time and time again. And then, are we going to get a phone call? Should I expect a phone call? Because I know you're doing that TV show, and I know I should be getting a phone call. I mean, are all these people so worried about that? I mean, let it happen, people. Let it breathe. Like wine, let it breathe. You don't shake it up and toss it around. Let it breathe. Just like a good blues guitar player. let it breathe. It's not what you
did.
Did
you say let it be or let it breathe?
Let it breathe. Let it breathe some. Give it some space. Give it some elbow room. I mean, you know, that's the problem with all these fellows from up north and in big cities. They don't got no elbow room. They can't stretch out. I mean, they're too busy worried about the price of lumber. And who's going to call? And can Jim call? And you know, Paul, I'm listening. And now all of this is about the draft. I mean, are these kids, I mean, do these people that are calling in, no disrespect to the people, I know they're concerned and they're worried, but do these people think all these kids are actually listening to this program and this advice? You know, don't sign with them. I mean, they ain't being treated fair. I mean, do you think they're being taken advantage of? Do you think this, Paul, do you think how you think ought to go help them? You think ought to go help them and watch them and be their mentor? You know, are these people getting too wound up and wrapped up? I tell you, Paul, when you throw a topic out there, if you was fishing, you've caught your limit today.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I just got a call from the warden.
Well, I mean, you know, it's
game warden, not the prison warden.
You know, if it wasn't for these guys' wives writing them a note to go to the grocery store and get coffee and toilet paper and paper towels, they couldn't do it.
Is that still a big deal? Because I got a bunch of paper towels I'd like to sell somebody on eBay if they'd like them.
and you could probably make a fortune.
I got three rooms full of paper towels I can't get rid of right now.
Well, you know what? I've got 4 2x4s. I bet Jeff would give me top dollar.
Yeah.
But, you know, Paul, I mean, it's amazing when you come on the air and when the phone says, let's go here, and the phone kind of dings. I tell you, it's amazing what that ding does to these people. You are a very important man, Paul Feinbaum. Have a great day.
I am going to give it my best shot. Thank you for the call. JP is up next. Hello, JP. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So I wanted to switch gears, if I may, for just a minute, because I find this story very interesting. It's that whole Rush Probst thing, the guy from the Hoover, Alabama show years ago, and he goes over to Valdosta. And I'm very interested because there's been some significant allegations about paying players from some of the boosters in Valdosta. And as a big SEC guy, I mean, they're making some serious allegations against Georgia and against Alabama. I'm sure, you know, I'm curious, have you heard anything? Is there anything more?
Yeah, the only thing, there's been two stories written about it. Mark Schlabaugh had one about 3 weeks ago. And interestingly, the New York Times, Sunday or Monday, I can't remember what day it was, or this week or last, had a story about how it all happened, and it did list some of the allegations. I think Probst has said that he has tried to walk back the allegations. Whether he's sincere or not is open to interpretation. I think the bigger allegation was the one he purportedly said about the Hoover police. Did you see that one?
I did. You know, I don't know the man personally, aside from what I've read. So there's sort of a...
I do know him very well. And
that politely, but
yeah,
people always wonder, where is the truth there?
Well, here's the problem with a guy like Rush, and I've known him a long time, and I like him. But when you've misled people on big issues, your credibility is going to take a hit whenever it's called into question. And, you know, I don't think it really matters because, by the way, what he said, you could probably hear at any quarterback club in the South on a Monday night being discussed. It doesn't mean it doesn't mean it's true. And it also doesn't mean you could corroborate it. I mean, I've looked into stories back in the day when I was a reporter. And, you know, we're talking $100,000 in driveways and cars and lake homes and washing machines. And it's all great and it's all exciting if you're sitting around with your buddies. But the NCAA doesn't, you know, they can't do anything about that. Neither can the school. So what's the school? What is a school supposed to do? Call in the head coach and say, "Are you funneling money?" And the guy says, "Of course not. That's ridiculous."
Yeah, it's just I find it interesting because you have a coach that manages to call a player outside of a dead zone, big story, level three sanctions, but then you have this guy,
ridiculous.
That he's paying hundreds
but
of thousands.
You have, but JP, you've got cases on the books with the NCAA that are 3 and 4 years old that involve wiretaps, that involve tapes, that involve... Yeah. They can't even adjudicate those cases. So how do you think, you know, they send some guy down to Valdosta, Georgia, and you think Rush Probst would give that guy the time of day? He wouldn't talk to him.
I could not believe
those allegations made it into the New York Times. But then again, maybe the standards have changed over the, I guess they have.
Well, they certainly have, and I guess maybe it's nice to see that story instead of some of the other stuff that's going on with the world. But, yeah, right. I won't take up too much more
okay.
of your time.
Yeah, no, it's I think some of the story is legend. I think a high school coach is going to hear a bunch of stuff. And, you know, if somebody wants to go on, I'm sure there are investigative groups out there trying to get Rush Probst to go on the record right now. But it really is not going to make a whole lot of difference if he does. I'm not covering for anyone. I'm just telling you that to make something like that stick, you have virtually no chance whatsoever. Thanks for the call. Let's check out David, who is up next. David, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon to you. How are you?
I am well. Thank you very much.
I want to lead up and let you know how much I enjoy your show. I work 9 to 5, and I got about a 45-minute drive on the way home, and your show is a good separation from what I was doing at the office and some of the COVID-related.
Thank you so much.
Traffic in an office, and then you know what you got to do at home to put on your family face. So it's a great, wonderful separation. But I'm calling today regarding, I'll call it revenue or payment of players for, and obviously at collegiate level, and I'm just repeating some things I've heard before, so you may have talked about it. But you know, there are researchers who are on scholarship at universities, they get paid sometimes for what they do by corporations or individuals. And if you are a scholarship performing artist, probably band member at, say, Ohio State University or any major university, you're still allowed to go out and join a band and get paid for what you do for the university on your own and earn revenue from what you're, you know, besides what you get for a your scholarship. And so I look at it as, if you're an athlete, basically there's a framework that's set up where students can get paid or earn money, maybe not paid from the university. I think it'd be tough to pay all the athletes. How would you divide it out? I don't know. Particularly if you're like the backup kicker. But if you're able to join, whether it's an advertisement or sell your jersey, then there's could be an opportunity there. Or if you wanted to be on the local, you know, fried chicken place, and you're the backup offensive lineman, you know, I think there's an opportunity that it could work out without being infringing the, you know, integrity of the game. And obviously, if you're the backup kicker for whatever school, and nobody wants your jersey, but what if the main kicker gets hurt and you kick the winning field goal? Well, everybody wants to buy your jersey, and you get the chance to, you know, capitalize on what you've done compared to the backup kicker's never going to get any money. From, you know, if you were dividing the salary on a large scale, you know, for a football team. Anyway, those are my thoughts. I'll hang up and enjoy your show. So
David, thank you. Thank you for the kind words, and we appreciate it very, very much. We're heading to a break. Nicole Auerbach in the final hour on the changing winds of college athletics, the new rule that we will learn more about, and more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome. Hello. Welcome back. And Nick is up next in Florida. Hey, Nick, thanks. Great to have you on.
Hey, Paul. So I really enjoyed the surreal interview.
I don't know. I'm talking to Nick, and he disappeared. Nick, we'll try to get you back. You were talking about the interview a minute ago with Landon and Mac Jones. John, go right ahead.
Paul, can you hear me?
Yeah, John. John, you are next up. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I'm gonna follow that fellow there. I think he was wanting to talk about the Mac Jones and that was such a great interview. You can tell them two guys are buddies. You can tell. Yeah, I'm an Alabama fan, obviously, but you can tell they were friends on the field as well. And they've got their whole world ahead of them, Paul. And like I said, that's a great interview. It's good to hear stuff like that. Can I say something about I-Man?
Thank you very much. I think we have Nick back. You're right. I thought they both captured the moment. Who wouldn't go back to college or high school or wherever if you could? I mean, I think there's a debate between high school and college. But those guys just had an amazing run, capping it off with what they did. Okay, Nick, I think we have you back now.
Thank you, Paul. So, I mean, look, how surreal is that? Like, when I graduated from Alabama in 1997 in the business school, I got a job making about $60,000 a year. And here you have these two great guys. You know, Landon's in probably like a 15-year-old F-150. And I don't know where Mac was, but it was something with bad lighting.
Yes.
And these guys are getting ready to have, $20 million wired into their accounts the day that they DocuSign their contracts. And they probably don't have $1,000 combined in their checking accounts
right.
today.
You're right.
Can you think of any other career where you can go from, these guys to what they're about to encounter, like for the rest of the world? Like it was so, it's just so surreal. It's incredible.
No, Nick, you're right. You did well. My first job out of school, I was making $145 a week. And by the way, I was pretty proud of that.
I thought I was a millionaire.
Yeah, well, you were. I mean, you were a millionaire in my world because I was a sports writer and you had a business degree. But it is true. I mean, it doesn't matter whatever. I mean, the first time we've ever had a chance to have a few bucks. I remember the line of demarcation in my life when I no longer had to depend on my mother to help me with anything in terms of financial responsibility. And it took a while, by the way, as an adult, but there's always that threshold. And these guys, they know it's about to change. They both know 2 weeks from tonight, they're no longer college kids.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. Like they're going about their lives that they've had, and it's going to change so dramatically. How could you even sleep at night? Like for me, it's I get so geeked up about it because it's so incredible to think of how their lives are going to change.
No, you're right. I mean, just it's a whole nother show. But you think about that last moment that any of us have ever had, where you had no responsibility, carefree, didn't make a bit of difference. You were just going to live life and take whatever happened. It's a great moment. Hey, thank you so much for saying that. And I had a blast with it because there are a lot of hardcore questions you could ask, but to me, let those guys have a good time. They'll be doing they'll be doing much bigger interviews in about 2 weeks than the one they had here today. We are heading to a break. I mentioned Nicole will join us. This NCAA rule has passed now. It is official. But what does it mean? It means, can you transfer to can you go wherever you want, or are there some restrictions within certain leagues? That we will get to the bottom of that when we come back. Another hour to go. Nicole at the top of the hour, and your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.